Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I think it should be okay. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'hdihi wa nasta'gfiruhu. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa nabihu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah wa thumma wa alhamdulillah. Beginning the khutbah al-jumma, praising Allah and thanking Allah Azza wa Jal for so many blessings that Allah has given us. Blessings, alhamdulillah, beyond which any number we cannot count them. And bearing witness, alhamdulillah, that Allah continued to send guides and prophets and messengers throughout the millennia. No people have been left without guidance, alhamdulillah. That guidance culminated with the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1435 years ago. Culminated with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam's message. And alhamdulillah, from that message Allah sent to us a risala, a letter, a communication to humankind that we might be guided aright. We thank Allah today for that guidance from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask peace and blessings upon him and his family and his companions and all of the anbiya and those who follow Allah's haq, the ultimate reality, the truth, until the day of judgment. Ameen. Today in the khutbah al-jumma, I just want to share with you just a few thoughts, alhamdulillah, and I want to tell you today, I'm probably not alone in having a heavy heart. It seems in the world today, when we look at the news, every piece of news, wa na'udhu billah, seems like it's bad news. Even bad news, there used to be a little good news. Now, it seems every channel, every station, they're saying some kind of thing. Maybe it's against Islam or it's against humanity. It's against something, against morality. Almost as if the whole world is going crazy. And we ask ourselves sometimes, what can we do about it? Perhaps it might be helpful to think about the words of Imam Shafi, Rahim Allah alayk. If there was nothing else revealed of the Quran except this, he said it would have been enough to guide all of humankind to the straight path. And Allah begins that surah by swearing by one of Allah's creations, time. Wal asr. And then Allah informs us about the nature of human beings. Everyone is a loser. And I love the fact that Allah is very general, because you might think, well, that doesn't include Muslims, do it? And the Christians say that doesn't include Christians. Everybody else is the Lord. The Jews, they all say somebody else, not us. We're the chosen people. Quran gives some definition. إِنَّا الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. If you have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is natural that out of that relationship should flow righteous deeds. If you see a person who's intelligent, they study, they learn, they know things. When you see their behavior, you know how they're going to behave. They're going to behave like an intelligent person. If you meet an ignorant person, the Quran informs us, don't argue with the ignorant person. Just say to them, Assalamu alaikum. because their level of comprehension, they're not going to get it. So don't waste your time arguing with them. Out of the right relationship with Allah flows amilus salihat. If you teach your child good manners when they're growing up at that time, when they get older, they have them inculcated. It's called habit. A person who has this relationship with Allah over time, they develop the sensibilities that when individuals try to call them to something different than what Allah has, they have a fortitude that they can withstand it. The conditions, وَتَوَصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. You and I, through the units of time, have an opportunity to find out what Allah's haq is and then talk to each other about it. Don't keep it a secret. I love, alhamdulillah, the Quran is coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the early days, and then it stops. And when the Quran stops coming to the Prophet alayhi salam, he and his companions, although there were few, they were concerned about why we are not receiving this communication from Allah. And then Allah reveals to him Surah Al-Duha and the last ayah, فَأَمَّا بِالنِّعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Go and tell people. Tell people about this message that Allah is sending to you, even though maybe because that barakah is not coming right now, you feel like you might be dejected. You're not. That verily Allah is with the people who have amen for Allah. They are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In their salat, in their zikr, they remember Allah. It affects their behavior. It drives us. وَتَوَصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. And that we patiently persevere. We don't give up. Now I'm going to tell you part of what's bothering me today. I believe that we have lost sense of time in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we are, as a people, I mean globally, so hooked on making something happen right now that the notions of sabr, even the reality of what is haq, doesn't matter. What matters is what I want to see happen and where I want it to happen now. It creates an impatience in our young people, almost to the degree that it drives them mad. They want to see the establishment of Islam. They want to see justice. But they're impatient. If you were to think about connecting the way the companions connected with time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes that there's forgiveness from one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, from one Salah to the next Salah. So if I am living in the time sense of a Muslim, when I see you and I say, SubhanAllah, Akhi, let's get together later. And you say, when? You said, how about Ba'da Salat al-Asr? Because my time frame is set based on what Allah has set as the times. What time is our gathering? Let's meet after Maghrib. Not 6 o'clock, 7:30, after Maghrib. Because my time sense is adjusted. When my time sense become adjusted to Allah's time, I become more patient. And I don't feel guilty all the time because I have focused in my salah that if I make Salat al-Asr, I ask Allah to forgive me for what I did before I made salah. And I make a pledge that when I get up from the rug, I'm not going to make those mistakes again inshallah, between then and Maghrib. Now, I don't know about many of you, but I know there are many people, they make salah, they're going through the motion. Maybe sometimes, I guess even me, I realize I finished making salah, I'm like, subhanAllah, was I really there? I know all the words, alhamdulillah. I know all the movements, ruku, sujood, jalous, I'm in every one of them, but am I really there? In a way that I'm connecting with Allah, that when I leave salah, I'm empowered, I'm energized. The burden has been lifted from me. My mental health condition is improved. I'm not all stressed out. Because I know that that salah was filled with maghfirah. And then I hope, like a person who plugs their cell phone in when the battery gets low, I'm charged up. For some of us, we let our battery run a long time, and then you try to call the brother and he doesn't respond. And you say, well, brother, why didn't you pick up the phone when I called you? You say, my battery was dead. Some of us, our spiritual battery dies because we let it go too long before we charge it up. You know, they come out with new devices all the time, and your people ask, well, is the new iPhone going to have a longer battery life? Because my battery dies all the time. Allah gave us a formula for how we could maintain our battery's life. We could maintain the connection with Allah by plugging in 5 times a day. Before the battery dies. So that, alhamdulillah, we might be energized from our salah. Right now, we're about to go through another time change. This time change into the new year. And Samir Abu Issa told me to remind you there are calendars for sale in the office. New year. Forgiveness, alhamdulillah, from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, from one period of our acknowledgement of the reality of Allah. Me, I took shahada. So I know the day that I said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Everything before that, Allah forgave. But then after that, like a person, the Prophet ﷺ said, if they bathe in a river 5 times a day, how much dirt could they get on them? They said, Ya Rasulullah, no significant amount. He says, Salat is like that. But sometimes you get some kind of stain on you that regular washing not going to get it out. Maybe even the wash that comes from Ramadan, not going to get it out. And so you need to go to the high detergent, Hajj. And I want to remind you, those who just who returned recently, make sure that you visit with them to get some of the charge off of them before it goes down. Many of them will come back, their souls are light like a feather. Because they're not carrying that emotional baggage, sin that they had before that journey. And although I was talking to a journalist the other day, they asked the Imam, tell us about Muharram and the Muslim New Year. I said, well, the Muslim New Year doesn't have any religious significance for us. The first of Muharram doesn't have any religious significance for us, but I would like to remind your readers that the time mark for the Muslim era didn't begin like the Christian, didn't begin with the birth of the Prophet. The Muslim era didn't begin with the revelation of the Quran. The Muslim era begins in the year of the Hijrah, where people, because of their connection with Allah, migrated to some place so that they could be free to practice their religion. And the Jews in Yathrib would be able to practice their religion. And Sabians, another kind of monotheist, that they would be able to practice their religion freely in a place that Muslims established for the worship of Allah. That era begins, alhamdulillah, with the Hijrah. So for us, when we think about the year zero, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were in the time sense. Everything before that, one era. Everything after that, a new era. And they didn't retrofit time. Like if you go to your calendar now at work, you see on the calendar 2014. How'd it get to be 2014? In the year zero, was anybody saying this is the year zero? The reality is that the Gregorian or the Christian era or AD was created many, many, many years after that event. But the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in their time, they saw the Hijrah as that dividing line. So a companion would say, "Ya Abdullah, when did such and such happen?" They would say, "Oh, that was 2 years before we made Hijrah." Say, "Well, and when was your son born?" "Oh, he was born 2 years after Hijrah." Because the migration to a place where they were free to practice their faith was the central issue in their time. So I'm not asking you to celebrate the new year, but I am asking you to celebrate to be in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the establishment of Iqamatu Deen. And we might want to take a moment to reflect on our own time and how we set our own priorities and what we think is really important, that Allah might bless us in this next year, in this era, with benefit. Aqulu qawli hadha, astaghfirullah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam al-Rasuli Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bye-bye. I want to change subjects on you. And I apologize. But right now, there's a lot going on in our world. The first I'll talk about, because you might not hear about it later. Over 4,000 people have died from the Ebola crisis. That's a little more than 1,000 people more than died on the tragedy in 9/11. Why is it that everybody's talking about that tragedy and they move quickly to memorialize it and to spend millions of dollars to do whatever? And most of the people who are affected, by the way, in the Ebola crisis, most of them are Muslim. Most of them. Yesterday they had the first case in Mali. The largest country in Africa with the Muslim population is Nigeria. Alhamdulillah, Nigeria is now Ebola free. Senegal had a case. They have resolved their issue. They've now been determined Ebola free. Sierra Leone, Liberia, Guinea, still they're struggling. And I don't know about you, but I know that people who live in that part of the world, they don't get their fair share. They've known about the Ebola disease for 35 years. They're only rushing now to find a cure because it might come over to the United States or Europe. I'm inviting you to become an advocate for your brothers and sisters and for humanity to do something to end this crisis. Make dua when you see the news of the terrible outbreak. Make dua. There's a hashtag look like number sign, end Ebola. Go to Twitter and see if you can follow what's going on. Maybe you can do something to make a difference. Let Congress know that this is important because it affects all of humanity, but also because many, many Muslims are dying. The other part is to do what you can. I'm not fundraising today. I'm not asking you to spend any money. But if you have money, you know what to do. And the other is, there are some issues and concerns, not only about health, but about mental health. I know many of you have seen the news lately of individuals who have been claiming that they're going to fight in Syria, in Iraq, etc. Whatever you think about that, that's not my subject. I know that there are a lot of Muslims who are killing other Muslims every day. Today's Jumu'ah, so if you just look at the news, what happened in any country in the region, Pakistan, India, Afghanistan, you name it, you're going to find some Muslims killed other Muslims today. Iraq, definitely. And over what, I'm not really, really sure. But they're all, but they're fighting. Syria, Lebanon, Jordan. They fight each other. I can't figure it out. I'm from Brooklyn, maybe, you know, just because I'm not from the region, I can't really get it. When I accepted Islam, the life of a Muslim was sacred. I accepted Islam. Life of a Muslim was sacred. Now you have Muslims who go and they kill it. I was in Sudan. Met with one faction and another faction. Killing each other after they make salat. They have some kind of mental illness. You can't be a rational Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ in his khutbah wada, he said the life of a Muslim is sacred. You get up, make takfir on the other Muslim, then go kill him. And while you're at it, you can kill his wife and his children. Something is going wrong. Most of the people who have been caught trying to go over there from here, when they evaluate them, most of them have mental illness. Most of them. Because they feel that the sense of urgency and time, we got to do something, man. What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do, but let's go get busy. At least I can do that. You're sick. And I know about... about some of the young people who have gone over and they get sick when they're over there. When they find out, oh, we're selling dope to buy weapons, because they don't make no weapons. All the weapons come from the United States, from Israel, from the Soviet Union, Germany. They don't come from over there. I'm sorry, I'm making some of you uncomfortable. That's not, they don't, the people who are doing the killing of other Muslims, they don't manufacture, maybe IED, but they don't manufacture weapons. When they talk about heavy weapons, ain't none of them weapons made by Muslims. So someone else is benefiting from the bloodbath. My advice to you, many of our young people are so isolated, and some of them, they don't have good, boys don't have good relationship with their father busy working all the time. That love and compassion that the Prophet ﷺ talks about, for your children? Not there. Their friends are on Facebook. The friend is on the internet. And then the next thing you know, they find another friend on the internet who says, you know what, man? I really love you. And I really want to see you do something with your life. So why don't you come and get busy with us? And then when you look at the profile of that person, you say, that's so unfortunate. They were taken advantage of. Because they were mentally unstable. That's your job. That's your job. Your neighbor, invite them. The youth in your neighborhood, get together with them. If they look like something is going on with them, build a relationship. Maybe there's something going on with their home. This boy in Ottawa, they said he's from a broken home. He was homeless. This is ripe. These people are ripe for the taking. And I'm saying to you, alhamdulillah, the love of this deen, the love of Allah, the love of Muslims, is something that we have to share with them. Alhamdulillah, before we lose them, and then Allah will ask us, what did we do? Did we share this deen with them in a way that they would benefit? I know it's 2 o'clock. And we used to say back in the 70s, Allah, you got to get back to your slave. Back to work, inshallah. But I want to remind you, alhamdulillah, if there are any health professionals who are with us, we're not just talking. Dar Hijra has agreed to join the Interfaith Medical Specialist Network. And we're going to have a meeting, medical people. You don't even have to be a doctor. You could be any kind of medical person. To join us here at Dar Hijra this Wednesday night at 6:30. Because we have to do something. It's the mind, body, and the spirit that, alhamdulillah, if we make it home, then you'll have in your chest that lump of flesh that the Prophet ﷺ said, if it's good, the whole body's good. That's the anatomical heart, as well as this qalbun sareem, inshallah. So I ask you, alhamdulillah, please to make dua for those, alhamdulillah, who are suffering under the stress and the diseases of this society. Allahumma dina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt. O Allah, guide us among those whom you have guided. O Allah, protect us and our children among those whom you have protected. O Allah, take us as a friend among those whom you have taken as a friend. O Allah, strengthen us, alhamdulillah, that we might have patience, Ya Allah. O Allah, that you might gather us together, alhamdulillah, that we might love one another. O Allah, help us, alhamdulillah, within the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we might love you, Ya Allah, and love your ummah. O Allah, we ask for your mercy and your peace on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on his family and on his companions. And all of the Anbiya, Ya Allah, those who follow the way of your Haqq, Ya Allah, until the day of judgment. Amen. Aqulu qawli hadha, astaghfiru lakum, aqim salat.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذ جاء النصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فاصبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا.
الله أكبر.